So I understand that we've been looking at some of the I am sayings of Jesus in the last few weeks. I think we've had Jesus saying he's a gate, a light, bread, a path, and he uses all those to show just a bit more of what he's about, a bit more of his mission on earth and beyond, a bit more of his mind-blowing, incomprehensible, game-changing identity. And today, we've come to one of the best known and best loved of those statements. We just heard read Jesus saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, we didn't have all of the story of the raising of Lazarus, so let's just recap to give ourselves some context. We learn that Lazarus, who's a dear friend of Jesus, is very sick. Mary and Martha have sent word, and presumably they expect Jesus to come very quickly and to heal him. But he doesn't. He tells his disciples that Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. And then he hangs out where he is for a few more days. We pick up the story in verse 17 when Jesus arrives, and Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. Now, 4 days is an important note that John has made in his gospel. Because at the time, there's a Jewish belief that a person's soul hovered around their body for 3 days, trying to re-enter. In other words, they believed that for 3 days, there was still a possibility of life. But on the 4th day, the day when decomposition would really start in, the belief was that the soul fled. John is telling us that Lazarus is dead. Whatever happened next was no trick of a weak pulse, or Lazarus fainting, or going into some kind of coma. When Jesus arrives in verse 20, Martha comes out to meet him. Martha, whose only other appearance in the Gospels is when Jesus tells her off for choosing busyness over discipleship. Martha is the one who comes out to Jesus. I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Martha and her busyness, and I like that she charges out to meet Jesus. But what she says is pretty remarkable. She says, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Now, I don't think, probably in her conscious, practical mind, that Martha really thought that Jesus would raise Lazarus from the dead. And in fact, later on in the story, she protests against the grave being opened because of the smell that she's sure will come out. But she did trust Jesus, and she recognized his power. Even in the depths of her grief, having lost Lazarus, who she not only grieved as a beloved brother, but likely her only breadwinner, provider and protector, she believes in Jesus' love and power. I wonder what our reaction in that situation would have been. A couple of weeks ago, I had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. It seemed like everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Rhoda's childminder called in sick, and also to say that she was stopping childminding altogether. My wallet was stolen. I had a difficult conversation with someone that I hadn't prepared for. I had a meeting I had prepared for, but turned out to be quite different than I thought, and was heavy and hard going. Now, Dave and my lovely King's Kids team all prayed for me, and they were all confident of a quick resolution to all those problems. But I just couldn't see it. In that moment, I didn't trust fully in Jesus' power and his love. Now, the happy end to that story came the very next day, when everything that had gone wrong seemed to right itself, even down to my wallet being found under a pile of clothes in a shop, with nothing missing. But I want to be like Martha, don't you? I want to say to Jesus, in whatever situation I find myself, even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. So Martha expresses her trust in Jesus, and Jesus replies in verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." Now Martha misunderstands what he means, or at least doesn't fully understand what he means, as is so often the case in the Gospels and perhaps in our own lives as well. She thinks that Jesus is referring to the Pharisees' belief in the final resurrection. And you can almost hear her half-heartedness when she replies that she knows that Lazarus will rise on the final day. But then Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." Now, if you've been in church a long time, it's probably a verse that you know by heart. It's familiar and it easily trips off the tongue. "I am the resurrection and the life." But what does that really mean? Well, as with most things that Jesus said, I think it probably means more than one thing. First, and most obvious, given the rest of the story, Jesus meant that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Throughout his ministry, Jesus has shown that he has power over nature, power over spirits, power over sickness. He's even already raised to life Jairus' daughter and the son of the widow of Nain. But Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. He is dead, remember? But when Jesus says that he's the resurrection and the life, he's promising Martha that even death has no power greater than his. He's promising to bring Lazarus back to life. And so he asks her, "Martha, do you believe?" Now, you probably know the end of the story. Jesus does raise Lazarus from the dead, to the amazement of his friends and family, and to the consternation of the religious leaders. But as amazing as that miracle was, Lazarus' resurrection was not the only thing that Jesus was talking about when he said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." The second thing that Jesus meant was that he himself would die and rise again. Now, to us, this is obvious. I had the school of Key Stage 1 in here over the last week, and we talked about this stained glass window right up there. And I told them the reason that the cross was on the biggest and most central stained glass window was because the story of the cross and the resurrection is the most important of all stories to Christians. It's so familiar to us, the story of the cross, that we often don't even feel the jarring of what it means to have a crucified Savior. Believing in a crucified Savior means believing that when Jesus was at his weakest, when he was at his most broken, when to all around him it seemed as if his purpose and mission had failed, it seemed as if he had failed, we believe that it was then, broken, bruised, beaten, and left to die, it was then that Jesus was at his most glorious. It was then that Jesus was at his most powerful. And that's because the end wasn't the cross. The end was the resurrection. When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," he was promising that he would go to death and back in order to show his love for us. Now, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and I'm sure many of you got lovely cards, maybe flowers and chocolates. Dave even got some egg cups. Now, I love all those things. Don't get me wrong. Bring on the presents any day of the year, I say. But to me, Valentine's Day has always just had a bit of a note of hollowness about it. It's a day to celebrate love, that perfect, deep, all-consuming, this is what it's all about kind of love. But what if you're single? What if your marriage is in difficulty? What if you're a widow or a widower? What if you're divorced? What if you're with the person you love, you're deliriously happy and settled, and you wouldn't change a thing, and yet there just seems like there should be something more. There should be something deeper. Well, hear this on this day after Valentine's. That perfect, deep, all-encompassing, this is what it's all about kind of love cannot be found in any husband, wife, partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, fiancé, or lover. We will look and look and look, and we might think we might have found it, but it will always come up short. It will always disappoint. And that's because there is a deeper love that every one of us was made for. When Jesus told Martha that he was the resurrection and the life, he was not only talking about the miracle he was about to do in raising Lazarus. He was talking about the long road to Calvary, the beatings, the humiliation, the betrayal. He was talking about hanging on a cross and dying. He was talking about rising on the third day so that we could forever be free, be whole, be new. This is love. When he said, "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus was telling Martha that love would take him to the grave and love would raise him to life again. And so he asks her, "Martha, do you believe?" But Jesus, I think, meant one more thing when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." I think he means that he will raise Lazarus from the dead. He means that he himself will die and be raised. But he also means that his death and life will be a pattern for our own. Verses 25 and 26 say, "Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Anyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." Jesus is promising that even though we will experience the pain and sorrow of earthly death, for those who believe in him, that's not the end of the story. Because Jesus is the resurrection, we can have life with him eternally, where pain will be no more, where he promises every tear will be wiped from our eyes. Jesus is, of course, talking about heaven, about the real and certain hope of life with him after the grave. But he's also talking about life right now. Jesus is not only the resurrection, but the life to come, yes, but the life now. Because he rose from the grave, the chains of sin have been broken. John 10:10 says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Paul talks about the life that Jesus can bring in Romans 7 as well, saying, "I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that's at war with my mind. This power makes me slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I think sometimes we have it in our heads that progressing in the Christian life is about getting better at not sinning. The more we study our Bibles, the more we pray, the more we come to church, the more we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, the better people will become. In that understanding, the image is that sin is like dirt, and the goal is to be as pure and clean and as dirt-free as we can. And as we do all those things, Bible study, prayer, etc., God's slowly getting more and more dirt off of us. And that is one image we can use. But what if being a Christian wasn't just about being clean? What if sin isn't just like dirt, but it's like chains? And instead of simply getting cleaner, as we experience the Holy Spirit's power, as we come to know God more, we are instead casting off heavy, painful, debilitating chains. What if we were slowly stepping into a new, wonderful free life. When he says that he is the resurrection and the life, Jesus is telling Martha that he is the very life worth living. And so he asks her, Martha, do you believe? I think that's the question for all of us today. Whether we've known Jesus for a very long time, whether you're pretty new to this faith stuff, whether you haven't ever met Jesus or followed him, the question is, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus has the power to do miracles? Do you believe that Jesus went to the cross to die and was raised on the third day? Do you believe that in Jesus we can have life forever, but also life to the full, exuberant, bursting life right here, right now? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Resurrection is what makes the news good. Well, let's go out and in this week, in the weeks to come, let's remind ourselves of that. Let's live in the resurrection of Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your ministry on earth. We thank you for those words, I am the resurrection and the life. But Lord, most of all, we thank you that you made them true, Lord. And we pray that we would really be able to live a resurrection life with you. In your name, amen.